You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. A cell phone saved the life of the manager of the Kansas City Royals. That is, a cell phone with functioning cell service in a rural area. Shortly after the World Series ended, he was outside on his property in Georgia checking the safety straps in one of his many tree stands when it gave out from under him and he fell 20 feet to the ground, breaking his pelvis. He came within an inch of losing his life. Here with his story of life or death is the never-so-grateful-to-be-alive manager of the Kansas City Royals, Ned Yost. Thank you so much for being with me. I bet you've never more appreciated every breath you take after this.
Oh, no doubt, Ed. I was laid up. The doctor said no weight bearing for 8 weeks. That meant I couldn't walk. I couldn't move for 8 weeks. And I'd sat it. I got to thinking, how am I going to sit in a reclining lounge or for eight straight weeks? But I was so glad to be alive. It actually was easy. I didn't do anything. The time went by fast, and I was just glad with the outcome, because things definitely could have ended up a lot worse.
There may be some people in our audience, Ned, who don't know what a tree stand is. Tell us what that is for those who may not know.
Well, Eddie, we've got a 550-acre farm here in Georgia. And it's abundant with deer. We've got a nice big lake on it where we catch bass. And we really enjoy the outdoors during the winter. I'm gone from my family all summer long. And, the 3 or 4 months that we have, during the winter is spent outdoors with the grandkids, with my boys. They love the outdoors. They love to hunt and fish. Friends all love to hunt and fish. And we probably have 30 different types of tree stands here. Most of them are what we call lock-on tree stands, where you put a ladder up in the stand, and then you apply the stand around a tree. And then you have ladder stands, and then, of course, you have, shooting houses stands that are enclosed on ladders. They're a little more comfortable. But this particular stand was a lock-on stand because we bow hunt. We just primarily bow hunt. We don't gun hunt here on the farm, and we feel like it gives the deer a little bit more opportunity, So we just kind of even the playing field by bow hunting, and it's easier to bow hunt out of a lock-on stand. And, those stands, once you climb up, they've got seats and a platform, but we're very particular about safety here. Every stand has a lifeline. Every stand has, hooks to clamp onto once you get up there. Everybody, you don't leave the barn without a safety harness on. And it was just one of those, freak accidents where the stand gave way.
Anyone who knows you knows how much you love bow hunting. It ranks right behind baseball.
Without a doubt. I mean, it's the freedom to get out and enjoy, God's great creation. You got, quiet time. You can enjoy nature, and, you can spend a lot of time with your thoughts, sitting there comfortably in a tree. So, we've always enjoyed the great outdoors. We've always enjoyed deer hunting, bow hunting in particular. And, it's just a thrill. We look forward to it all summer long.
So what happened that day?
Well, what happened, Ed, is that it was a Saturday, beautiful Saturday. It was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. My wife was going to a baby shower in Montgomery for my little nephew, and she was going to go spend the night. And I told her, look, what I'm going to do is I've had some friends over that hunted, 2 days before that, and we had probably 9 or 10 stands ready. It was early in the bow season. I told her I'm going to go, and I'm going to make sure I'm going to check 2 more stands. I'm going to put lifelines up on them. And
things that you've done a million times before.
Oh, a million times before. A million times before. Went to the first stand. It was perfect. Climbed up. Have my safety belt on. Got to the stand. Checked the stand. The stand was tight. you know, put my safety strap on around the tree, dropped the lifeline down. Everything was perfect. Tied it off the bottom, went to the next one. Got to the next one and climbed up the ladder, and the stand was tight. It had grown into the tree a little bit. The bottom part was a little bit loose, but I didn't think anything about it because the top was tight. Crawled up in the stand and went to grab my safety strap and went to connect into the tree, and all of a sudden, like a hangman's gallows, the bottom fell.
Wow.
And, I just remember thinking to myself, oh, crap, you know. I went to swiping for the tree. I remember I swiped three times. First time I hit it. Second time I hit it with my fingertips, and the third time I completely missed. And then, wham, down, I hit the ground. So,
when you hit the ground, it's causing this serious injury, this broken pelvis. You couldn't move an inch.
No, I didn't know at that point, Ed. I didn't know. I just knew that I hit hard. I told myself, okay, I wiggled my toes, and I could move my toes. I could move my feet. I could move my hands. I could move my arms, and I could move my head. So I'm thinking, all right, I'm okay. I'm going to sit here for a couple of minutes. I'm going to catch my breath. I'm going to get on that four-wheeler and go back to the barn. So I sat there for, you know, a couple of minutes, and I went to move, and I could not move. I mean, not even an eighth of an inch. My legs were, they felt like they weighed 400 pounds. I just couldn't move. And luckily, I had my cell phone. That's when I reached in my pocket. I grabbed it. I called my wife, and she was probably 30 minutes down the road, and I said, look, I fell out of it. The tree stand gave way. I hit the ground. I'm hurt. I'm gonna need help. So she turned around and then called 911. And sure enough, here being in a rural area, the 911, they got here really, really quick. And you know, this was all kind of over our head. We didn't understand what was going on, really.
Right.
911 got here about the time she got here, and when they found me, that she knew exactly where I was. I told her where I was. Of course, the 911 paramedics, right away, they said, we're getting a life flight, all right? Now, we can't ambulance him.
You need a helicopter.
A trauma center. Yeah, we got a helicopter life flight. And, you know, I was just thinking, good, I get there quicker. They said, we got to take you to Grady Hospital in Atlanta. It's a trauma center, and we're going to get you a life flight. So I'm thinking, okay, fine. At that point, I was hurting pretty good. As soon as they lifted me up, I knew it was my pelvis because I could feel it crunching and, you know, spinning and grabbing in there. I'm thinking, oh, man. But still, you know, it's a broken pelvis. I didn't think anything about it.
Right.
They loaded me up in the helicopter, took me to Grady. And by the time I got to Grady, they pulled me in the intensive care unit, and they had the trauma guys working on me. And I just remember, you know, like you see in the movies, they're cutting your pants off and, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what are they going to do? And one of the trauma guys said, Ned, he goes, look, your blood pressure is really, really low. And he said, we're going to have to do some things that are going to hurt, and we can't give you any pain medicine.
Oh,
so
boy.
I'm like, what can you do that is going to hurt anymore? Well, I found out real quick when he drilled a hole through my femur and through my leg and inserted a rod without any pain medicine and hung two 10-pound weights, you know, off of this rod that he inserted all the way through my leg. And I'm like, what are you doing? And it was the first time he said it. He said, Mr. Yost, this is going to save your life. And, of course, that went over the top of my head.
Right.
A few minutes later, they were trying to get me in these compression pants to get the bleeding stopped. And I'm like, boys, you guys are killing me. And again, Mr. Yost, this is going to save your life. With all this going on, I wasn't paying attention, but they were putting in unit after unit after unit of blood into me. And what we didn't know until the trauma surgeon came in 2 days later is that this type of injury generally is anywhere from a 40 to 50% mortality. Because with a fractured pelvis, especially as severe as mine was, that you get a lot of internal bleeding, and they just can't stop the bleeding, and you just absolutely bleed out. And that's what was happening to me, and I didn't understand it. And finally, when they put the eighth unit of blood in, they said, look, we're going to have to take him upstairs, and we got to take him into surgery, see if we can't get this blood stopped. So I'm still like, okay, whatever you got to do. Took me upstairs. Next thing I do, I woke up, and the first thing I asked, did you get the bleeding to stop? And they said, yes, we got it to stop. So that was the first really good sign You know, the next day I ended up having surgery, and then the third day is when the trauma surgeons came in and said, look, he said, we know you don't really understand what was going on. He said, but you scared the heck out of us. And I said, how did I scare you? And they said, we were losing you. We were losing you quick. You were starting to crash on the table. You were bleeding out, and there wasn't anything we could do for you. Thank God we got the bleeding stopped in the surgery. He said, because, you know, you were on your way out. And that just led me to believe, you know, again, back to your initial, statement. If I didn't have my cell phone, my wife was going to Montgomery for the night. She'd have showed up the next day. My son wasn't hunting that day. So with me being totally unable to move an inch, I'd have bled out probably in about 2 hours sitting in that field if I didn't have my cell phone. So my cell phone absolutely positively saved my life that day.
And there have been other occasions when you did what you were planning to do that day where you did inadvertently forget your cell phone.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, there's been 3 or 4 or 5 times out here where I'll be up in a tree, putting on a tree stand or checking lifelines and stuff and realize I don't have my cell phone and think to myself, how stupid. You know, if I'm going to go out by myself, I got to have my cell phone. But more times than not, I have my, you know, I'll take my truck out. This time it was such a nice day, I took the four-wheeler out. So no place to put your phone on the four-wheeler. So luckily I had it in my pocket.
I don't know if this is a good, we're with Ned Yost, who in early November, right after the conclusion of the World Series, was in a tree stand on his property in Georgia and fell 20 feet to the ground, breaking his pelvis. But the story is a lot more serious than one would imagine. You never lost consciousness at all, which was probably a good thing. But given what was in front of you immediately when you got to the hospital, maybe it would have been better if you were out.
Well, you know, you're right, Eddie. I never did, which was lucky, you know, lucky for me. And, you know, the pain was, you know, incredible, you know, sitting there on that because your pelvis was completely laid open. I mean, it was in two major pieces, and it was like I was split right down the middle. The whole pelvis was off, you know, 3 or 4 inches. So I had no, you know, connection down there on the lower half of my body. And that was incredibly painful. My surgeon, the orthopedic surgeon, said, look, he said, this is going to hurt. She said, but your surgery is going to help you feel better. And she was right. The next day after the surgery, I just kind of felt back tight again. Before, it was just so loose and, you know, so everything was just, you know, such a mess down there. But after, you know, two huge rods that she had to put through the top part of my pelvis and a plate and 9 or 10 different screws to hold the bottom part, she put me back together again.
You're a former catcher, and you have a high tolerance for pain. Was this anything like anything you had ever experienced in your life?
No, Eddie, again, you know, you're right. I do have a high tolerance for pain. And, you know, I think I've been amazing a lot of people. You know, I was supposed to be, you know, non-weight-bearing for 8 weeks. And then I could go 25% weight for 3 weeks and then 50% for 3 weeks. They were saying it was a 9 to 10 month total recovery. So at the end of 8 weeks, I'm still supposed to be in a wheelchair. I'm still supposed to be, on using a walker and crutches. And I haven't been on crutches or used my wheelchair probably for almost 3 weeks now. So at the 8 week mark, you know, I've been in great shape. I'm moving around. I'm taking it slow. I'm trying to be smart, and I hope my orthopedic surgeon's not listening because, you know, she's a little nervous that I was going to go too fast. But, you know, if you didn't know me, you wouldn't know that anything ever happened. And if you do know me really, really well, you know that, you know, I'm moving a little bit slower than I normally do. But if you came and watched, you know, my day here at the farm today, we you know, I got up, I went to rehab today and then got back and helped my wife. We're moving into a house. I, you know, we unpacked some boxes and I got on my skid steer and And, you know, I had to move, had to work on the road a little bit. We got a chance for snow tomorrow, so I was filling up some potholes and working on the mulcher, and my son's got the bulldozer out, and, you know, it's just a normal day here now. But we just got lucky on this one, that's for sure.
During this recovery, when you had to be completely still in preparing for our interview, I read that you would sometimes not move at all for almost 2 days at a time.
No, it was almost 2 days, Eddie. I mean, I would sit there and luckily I had a reclining lounger that was comfortable. And what I try to do is I just try to get into a position where it didn't hurt and then not move for hours. And the problem was I was okay with the pain medicine. I was okay reclined all the way back. But as soon as I sat up, that was it. I mean, it was there. That's when the intense pain came, when I tried to sit up. So, you know, I would sit in that reclining lounger for 42 to 48 hours.
Wow.
You know, a crack. And of course, if I had to go to the bathroom, I had a little, you know, thing that I could urinate in. I wouldn't eat so that I'd have to get up and do the other part of the bathroom and, you know, lost some weight. But, you know, I could not move. I couldn't get up. I couldn't get in the wheelchair. And I sat in that reclining lounger, slept in that lounger for 2 solid months.
Wow. And most of the discomfort was in your back and in your neck from sitting in that reclined position.
Now it is, yeah. Now I've got a lot of stiffness in my neck, a lot of stiffness in my back from, you know, not moving. Of course, you know, I think I ended up losing over 30 pounds. When you don't move for 2 months, your muscles weaken up a lot. And when you don't eat, it took me a long time for my appetite to come back. But my appetite's definitely back now and, you know, feeling almost normal.
Was there even a moment when you thought you might not be able to manage again and the major leagues?
No, not even for a split second. You know, I knew that, you know, it happened early enough in the winter. I'd have plenty of time to recover. I knew that basically, you know, I'm a pretty fast healer. You know, we'd go back a couple of years ago where, 8 o'clock at night in spring training, I had my gallbladder out and was at the ballpark at six o'clock the next morning, ready for the day. So, you know, I'm a pretty tough when it comes to, you know, handling that pain part.
Were you bored?
You know, Eddie, I never got bored. It's crazy because I wouldn't do. You know, people said, "What'd you read?" I didn't read nothing. Well, did you watch TV? No, I didn't. I didn't turn the TV on until 4 or 5 at night.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I just wasn't bored. I had my wife there, the grandkids would come, and, you know, it's amazing. I'm amazed that I wasn't bored, but, you know, I wasn't. I never got bored. I never, you know, got depressed. People say, "You might get depressed." I'm like, I never got depressed. I was just, you know, just trying to get through it.
And yet your recovery is fortunately ahead of schedule. And that recovery, I'm sure, Ned, includes a renewed appreciation for life.
Well, it does, Eddie. You know, I think I've always appreciated life. And, you know, I've always got a pretty good sense of my priorities, you know, as a person and as a husband and as a father and as a family man. And, you know, I've always had a real appreciation for it, you know, to begin with. So, you know, I just feel lucky. I just feel like, you know, I'm glad that I had my cell phone. I'm glad my wife, I had cell service, because there's a lot of places, you know, believe it or not, I was on my way to the back end of my farm about 3:20 when I remembered I had to do this show with you. Well, I get no cell service back there.
Wow.
So I could have very easily been on the back end of my farm. So I'm sitting on a ridge right now overlooking the lake talking to you, because it's where I get the best cell service, and I didn't want it to fade out during your show. But it's just lucky that we had cell service, and lucky that I had my phone.
I so appreciate your taking the time to tell your story. The doctors have assured you there will be no permanent damage or effects from this.
None. No, absolutely. So I'll be you know, within, under their estimation, 9 months, I'd be back to 100%. And I feel like I'm at 70% now at probably, let's see, it's been eight. It's been probably 10 weeks now. So, you know, it's been 2.5 months. So, you know, I'm going to be, by the time spring training comes, I'm not going to miss a beat. And, you know, I'm going to be in great shape.
I think there were some people who thought, when they saw a little tiny agate note in the newspaper, if they're still reading newspapers, about your misfortune, they may have even laughed and went, oh, Ned Yost fell out of a tree or a tree stand. Nobody could have imagined the implications of this and the seriousness of it.
Well, you know, I didn't understand it till after something like this. How many people die each year from falls off of ladders, falls off of roofs, falls off of tree stands. You know, the number is astronomical. And like I said, you know, it was, thank God, both Deb and I, you know, we didn't have any idea what was really going on. And it made it easier during, you know, the most scary time of it. You know, we just were like, okay, broken pelvis, let's get it fixed. We didn't understand the danger, which was kind of a blessing to us because we didn't have to worry about it. But it's something that's real and something that happens to a lot of people, and it's very, very deadly.
Yes, it is. You told Deb a joke about God that you're now, because of what's happened, you will now be becoming a better listener.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, that's exactly, you're right, Eddie. When we were laying there, you know, normally I'm gone. Like, if he starts in, I'll go, you know, I'm like, okay, love you, and I'm out. Well, I wasn't going anywhere. Now, she had a captive audience for 2 months, and I told her, I said, you know what? I said, I think I figured out the reason for this, is God wants me to be a better listener, and he knows that I've got no escape from you now. So we both laughed at that.
You got to sit and listen to her for 3 straight months without moving. You have no place to run, no place to hide.
No place. I had to sit right there and take it.
But yet, at the end of the day, it sure beats the alternative.
Oh, you're right, Eddie. And there's been many times where I've thought about that, and Deb's thought about it. And, you know, it just we just were lucky, that's all.
It sure puts all of the headlines about all of your stars and free agency, it sure puts that on the back burner.
Well, it did a little bit, but I still thought about it a lot. You know, I wondered what was going on with the kids and how things were going, and I didn't miss much because none of them are signed yet, so... you know, it wasn't like I missed anything there.
We wish you well and a happy new year, and more than anything, good health, Ned.
Well, thank you, Ed. We've been friends a long time, and, you know, I appreciate it. You know, I just want to appreciate the opportunity and, you know, to talk to you and, you know, be on your show.
So that'll do it for Ned Yost and myself on MLB.com. If you're on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.